Talk to you a little bit about Abraham. Let Thomas preach last week, and the famous sermon, "That's Faith, Baby." And that's what I'm going to name that sermon. He said, "That's Faith, Baby." And so we're going to call it that. We're going to put it on the internet. That's what we're going to name it. "That's Faith, Baby." And put a picture of Telly Savalas on there. And you got to be old to know who I'm talking about. This is a sermon I was going to preach last week, and I kind of gave you the outline there at the end, but there are steps in faith. There's more than just faith. There are some that go a little farther, and some a little farther, and some a little farther. And I want to give you a good example tonight. Abraham was the example to the Jew, and I'd like to show you why. Now, young people, sit up, get you a Bible, sit up, you're in church, and if you're sleepy, you should have stayed home and went to bed. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But that's in the beginning. The end of faith is seen once you get there. But it's not when you start. Okay, and a lot of people misunderstand that. They think, well, I have great faith if I just start out that way. No, your faith grows as you go. So Abraham's a good example. Look at chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham," Abram at that time, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now, wait a minute. He's asking a man. Now, you got to remember, the only God these people knew was the one that had been handed down from Noah's generation, from the descendants of Noah. They told the stories of the creation. They told the stories of the flood and about Noah's faith. And that's all they knew about God. So here's a man named Abram. And undoubtedly, he's trying to serve as much as he knows about God, he's trying to be true to it and serve God by faith. So God picks him out. And God says, "Now I want you to leave everything." Now he's a rich man. "I want you to leave everything. Leave everybody you love. Leave your family. Leave your friends. Leave your stuff. Get out of your father's house. And I'm going to send you to a land. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I'm going to show it to you when you get there." Oh my goodness, we wouldn't do it. That's faith. So now look, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now think about this. Here's a man that most people really don't know God by this time, and some still look to God and try to find him, but God picked this man out. And God said, "Now I got you for a special reason. I'm going to make of you a great nation." Now he didn't understand what that meant. He didn't know the Savior would be born through that name. He didn't know that the Israeli nation would be born through that name. So by faith, now he's trying to do what God told him to. All right? "Now, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee." And by the way, that's still true. He hadn't changed that. And you get these little punk politician girls, these little bully girls is what they are. They got that their best friend right here and their best friend's friends all following around behind them. They got a big mouth. They don't know what they're talking about cursing Israel. What they need to do is look at where they came from. Those people cursed Israel, and look where they are. Amen? That's a whole nother sermon. I better go on. And he said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him. That's his nephew. And Abram, by the way, God didn't tell Lot to go. That wasn't what he told. He said, leave him. But Lot tagged along. By the way, his daddy did too. And so Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Don't you tell me you're too old to do anything. 75 years old. But I don't feel good. I'm old. We're a 75-year-old man, gave up everything, walked out one day, just walked out. Amen. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, in other words, their families, And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he, now you got to remember, this is the first mention of God appearing to anybody since the flood. Talking to anybody since the flood. And he said, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Now I want you to notice when he settled, the first thing he did, the first thing, was not build him a house. It's build God an altar. Amen. And he worshiped God. That's the first thing he did when he got there, okay? And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said to Sarai's wife, behold, now I know thou art a fair woman. And y'all know the rest of that story. He lies about his wife being his sister. He gets in trouble over that, and God delivers him from that. And everywhere that Abraham went, he made mistakes, but God delivered him every time. God fixed him. Now, faith is not, it doesn't mean you're never going to fail or fall or make mistakes. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin again. Doesn't mean you're not going to get out of God's will. But it means faith is what we need to be what God wants us to be, where he wants us to be. And by faith in him, we will get there. Okay? It's faith in him. It's not you. It's not faith in you. It's not faith in what you do. It's not faith in how good you are. It's all about him. It's faith in God. And by the way, go read 1 Corinthians 13:13. He gives you the faith. You don't work it up. Faith, he gave it to you. You didn't even know how to be saved. He gave you that. You didn't know what it meant to be born again. He gave you faith to believe that. You said, well, I prayed to get saved. No, if he hadn't given you the faith, you still wouldn't have got saved. After you prayed, you wouldn't have been saved. God gave you the faith to believe on Christ. He gives you the faith to walk for God. He gives you the faith to go through the trial and tribulation. But you're supposed to be progressing somewhere. Abraham didn't stay. He moved forward. He didn't know where he was going, didn't know what to do when he got there, but God said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make you great, and I'm going to give you a land, and look, I'm going to take care of you. And even though he failed, lied by his wife twice, being his sister, took Lot with him. He wasn't supposed to. Lot's whole family went, and they almost messed up the trail. And then they ended up in Sodom. Amen. Took his daddy. He had to stop on the way. If you go on and read, you'll see he had to stop until his daddy died because his daddy was sick, and then he went on. But God didn't kill him because of that. He was traveling by faith that God would do what he said. So even though he didn't always do it the way God said it, he still kept the faith that God would do it. See?
Amen. Yeah.
So faith can make us happy. It can't. Faith can make, nothing in this world really gonna make you happy. Because it's all gonna turn to rust and rot and fall apart. Nothing in this, no person in this world can make you happy. You have a great wife, great family, great everything, great church, great everything. But still, that's not what's supposed to make you happy. It's faith in God, and here's how you get happiness. Number one. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 5, look at this. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and gathered all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now you know what made him happy? By faith, he left everything to God. Hebrews 11:8 says, he obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the first step of faith will make you happy. If you just step out, and by the way, that's what repentance is. It's not quitting anything. It's turning from yourself and what you desire and saying, well, Lord, I'm going to turn to you, and whatever needs to be done, you'll have to do it. Amen. And that's faith. And boy, you remember when you did that, those of you that saved, and I imagine on Sunday night, most everybody's saved, except some of you young people that hate to be here, but you're here anyway, you might as well enjoy it. You remember when you first got saved, how happy it made you? I was so happy I could hug a tree. I'm serious. I was so happy. I cried all day, but it was happiness. It wasn't sadness. It was happiness. I'm just so happy. And finally, I found what all those old 60s songs we kept singing, didn't know what we were singing about. I loved everybody. Amen. The song, the old time religion, make you love everybody. Amen. And when you first got saved, you were so happy. You didn't have any enemies. You loved everybody. You were so happy. And you went to work or school or whatever you did, and people said, what has happened to you? I mean, if you came in crying, they never would ask that question. If you came in cussing and fussing, they never would ask that question. But you come in loving everybody. You even loved the boss man that day. You loved your job. You wasn't complaining about your job. And people looked at you and said, what is going on? Why is he so happy? Are you on drugs? Have you been to the doctor? No. Jesus found me. Amen. He gave me faith. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. So the first step of happiness is leave all for God. Now, this is a rich man that left it all.
Yes.
He's a rich man. Everywhere he went, God blessed him. He got rich again. And everybody around him got rich because he was there. And these Muslims and all whose countries are falling apart, and they're starving, and they're living in mud huts, they hate the Jew. You know why? Because God blesses the family of Abraham. He's still blessing. He's still blessing. They went over there and they took that country back right after the World War II. And it wasn't nothing but a stinking desert and a bunch of mud huts and tents where these Arab wanderers were there, you know, with their camels. And they went in there and they rebuilt the place and they replanted. Now the deserts are growing stuff. God blesses everything they do. Now, when you get saved, if you'll just leave all, I mean, leave it all. Well, preacher, I would get saved, but... You better leave the butts behind, amen? Well, preacher, I would get saved, but I'd have to quit this or quit that or leave. Let me tell you something. If you receive the faith he has to give you, you won't mind leaving it. You'll leave it all. We got people in this room tonight who's left it all to follow God, amen? Amen. Left it all. And they don't care now. The things of this world don't shine near as much as they used to. Amen. Amen. So number one, a step of faith is the first step. The first step of getting saved. Now, don't tell me you got saved if you didn't do this. You left it all and turned to him. Abraham, I don't see where he ever considered what his friends would have thought about that. I don't see where he had a family meeting and took a vote on it. I don't see where he went down to the priest, at the rabbi, and asked his opinion. I think by faith he just turned and started following God, and I've decided to follow Jesus. And I don't think he really cared what anybody else thought. And that's how you get born again. He's not going to give you that faith if you waver and worry about what everybody else is going to say. What you have to make up your mind is, he said, come unto me, and you just said, I'm going to him. Come hell or high water, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm following him. I'm leaving it all. If I lose my job, I'll lose it. If my family turns against me, they'll turn against me. If I lose every friend I've got a friend in Jesus, and I'm just going to follow him. That's all I'm going to do. And then you'll get happy. You ever notice how those friends don't make you happy? That stuff does not make you happy. But Jesus will give you happiness. Amen. Oh, Abraham walked riding around on a camel out there. He used to have a gold chariot. Now he's riding on that camel. Can you imagine riding on one of them things? And he's going out across the desert. And he left the city. And he left everything and everybody that he knew. Step number two. Look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 9. Genesis 13, verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. Now he's talking to Lot. Now they've had a fuss over who's got the best grazing land. And now here's the man that God gave the land to, and he's given Lot a choice. First choice. Now, look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was, can you see what that word says? Separated from him. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. You know what he did? He let God decide. He left it all with God. Now, he left all for God, but then in this decision, he left it with God. He let God make the decision. Jude 24, now to him that's able to keep you. You leave it to God. Well, preacher, I'm worried I ain't gonna make it. Leave it with him. You'll make it. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm afraid I'm gonna lose everything I got. Well, if he don't want you to have it, you don't need it anyway. But if he wants you to have it, he'll let you keep it. And he may do like Abraham. If he sees you faithful, he may give you some more to go with it. Amen. He said, God, you decide. And God said, okay, now that Lot's out of the way, that worldly, carnal thinking, unfaithful person, now I can give you what I wanted to give you in the first place. Look, far as you can see, that's yours. And by the way, I don't see where he ever took that back. It still is.
Amen.
That includes a lot of land that's occupied by Arabs right now, but Abraham's going to get it back. The family of Abraham's going to get it back, and we're going to be with him. Amen? Amen. So, if you're going to be happy, you need to leave all for God. Preacher Father Mary said, you won't have to quit nothing. I said, you won't have to quit nothing. I said, you can't drink liquor and be a Christian. He said, I drink all the liquor I want to. He said, I just don't want to anymore. He said, I gave that to him, and he took it. I don't want it anymore. I'm saved. Amen. I'm delivered. And so leave it all for God, and then leave it all with God. Let him make those decisions you can't make. You say, preacher, I got this friend. I don't know if I can keep him or not. Well, take it to God. Say, God, here's my friend. Take him. And if they're not good for you, he'll take them. He'll get rid of them in a minute. Amen? Amen. The most dangerous thing a Christian can ever say to a friend that's hindering them is look at them and say, I'm going to pray about our relationship. If it ain't good, God remove you. God can do that. And we can't tell him how to do that. Now, so Abraham looked at Lot. He said, okay, now we're arguing over this stuff. So you do go wherever you want to. I give you first choice. And Lot took the wrong choice, as we know, because he looked at worldly things. And he went the wrong direction. And then when he got out of the way, God said, okay, now Abraham, I can give you what you need. What if Abraham had not left all with God and had took the place that Lot took? Somebody might say, well, one of you optimists might say, well, there would have been a revival in Sodom. I don't think so. I think there'd be another backslider in Sodom. Don't think you're going to go out here and storm the world and hell with a water pistol. God has to do that. Amen? Yes. So Abraham said, okay, now God, I'm going to leave it with you. What do you want me to do, God? And God said, okay, I'm going to show you. And he pointed out. He said, that's yours. You see it, you can have it. Now, that doesn't happen if you and I get stingy with what he's already given us.
Amen.
He's saying, got a roof, where's he at? Roof over my head or something. Got food on the table. Amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all remember when you couldn't sing that song.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know everybody wasn't born and raised poor like some of us were, but a lot of us were. And if you wasn't, you'll thank God you wasn't. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Anything you got since you've been saved, he gave it to you. Well, I worked for this. No. It's just by the grace of God. You ain't dead and in hell. It's just by the grace of God. You're not a drug addict or drunk or some pervert or something, you know. It's God did that. God gave you that. Amen? Amen. If you knew where some of us come from, you'd say, man, God's a miracle working God. Amen. Because we left it all with God. After I got saved, about a year later, I surrendered to preach. I didn't know what to do. I'd heard these preachers say they surrendered to preach. They quit their job and went to Bible college. Well, they didn't tell me they didn't have a wife and three children. So I went down to the mill. I said, I surrendered to preach. I'm giving them a notice. I quit. I'm going to Bible college. I didn't know nothing about a job. Somebody said, God took care of me. I said, well, God's going to... And he did. He took care of me. But you know what? I found out on the way, I'd better give it to him first before I make those decisions.
Yes.
And then he took care of me. He gave me the strength to work. He gave me enough sense to try to raise my family. And thank God he gave me a wife that did a whole lot better at it than I could. But I left it with him that day. That day I left it with him. I said, look, if we starve, I'll starve trusting you.
Yes.
And then I remembered, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Amen?
Yes.
So you leave all with God. Here's the problem. We got some happy Christians who have left all for God, but they've not reached the point of leaving all with God. They've left their family, they've left their friends, they've left their habits and hobbies, but they've not given... It's kind of like that monkey, you know. Y'all heard the story down in the jungle, you know. They'll bore a hole in the tree and put peanuts in it. And that dumb old monkey, he'll put his hand there and grab the peanuts and can't get his hand out because he won't let go of the peanuts. So they come up and chop his hand off and take him and skin him and cook him. That's true. Y'all didn't know that? As many monkeys as we have in here, you didn't know that. That's really the way they do it. Because the monkey's too stupid to let go of the little bit to save his own life. And there's a lot of Christians like that. They're hanging on to the little bit, and they're not happy like they could be. If they just let go of the little bit and give it to God, he'd turn it into something good. Amen? So, number one, if you leave all with God, you can start following. And number two, if you leave all with God, you can quit worrying about all that stuff.
Yes.
Now, I'm not telling you you're going to have it easy. Y'all young people, listen to me. I'm not telling you. Wake that girl up. We're in church. I'm not telling you that you're going to have it easy. Listen, don't turn around and look. Look at me. I'll call you. I'll wake you up too. Listen, don't let anybody tell you it's always going to be easy. It's not. But I'll tell you what it will be. It'll be a lot happier. There still might be times you can't pay your house payment or your rent. But you'll have the presence and the peace of God.
Yes.
If you wait patiently on the Lord, eventually He'll deliver you. Amen? That's called faith. Look at chapter 22. Look at verse 16. I'm about through, Thomas. I took a lesson from you. Thomas preached so fast. Genesis 22. Look at verse 16. Now this is the Lord talking to Abraham the second time. Okay? And second time he said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Now I don't mean much to us around here, but get out west.
Yes, sir.
Get out west, you'll see the stars. I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That means he'll be victorious. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And I said, number one, you got to leave all for God. And then number two, you're going to have to leave all with God to keep going. And then lastly, to be the happiest you'd ever want to be, you're going to have to find it all in God. You got to find it all in God. That day, you know the story. God had told Abraham, said, take your son Isaac, your only son, that he gave to him as a gift. And take him up that mountain and offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Go back and read it. He didn't preach it this morning. Well, thank you for that outline. I'm preaching it again. But go back and look at it. Abraham never did say, why, Lord? He never questioned God. Not one time. Now, I've got three children. It'd be hard. And he took that boy, and he took some servants, and he got a little donkey, and they put some wood on that donkey for the sacrifice, because, you know, wood ain't plentiful over there. And he put wood on that donkey, and they carry a little metal box around everywhere they go, and they keep hot coals in it. Because they didn't have matches or cigarette lighters. Some of you probably could have helped them with your cigarette lighter, but they didn't have cigarette lighters. And so they would carry that coal. And as they're going, little old Isaac, he's not very old, might be a 12, 13 years old at most, I think. But they're traveling along. They got a long way to go. And he looks over at that donkey, he said, Daddy, here's the wood. And here's the fire for the sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice? And you remember the famous saying, he said, son, God shall supply himself a sacrifice.
Yes.
That was prophecy right there.
Yes, sir.
Jesus, the Lamb of God. And that's what the whole thing was about anyway. It was a prophecy. God, Jesus Christ in the flesh, the Lamb of God, is our sacrifice. And Abraham saw that by faith in the future. He said, God shall supply himself.
Yes.
And so they're going up the mountain. The servants stay at the bottom. He builds an altar out of stones. He builds up an altar. He tells his boy, he said, bring that wood over here and put it down there. He brought the wood over there. He said, hand me that fire. He handed him fire. Then he said, lay on the wood. I get cold chills just thinking about that. Son, lay on the wood. I don't see where Isaac questioned it. All I see is, next thing I see, he has a knife in his hand and it's in the air. Go on, read the rest of the story. And he's about to bring it down when God stops him. And the sacrifice is stuck in a thicket right behind him, started making noise. Now that day he found God. He found his all in God. Everything about him that day was found in God. There was no more worrying about anything, no more fretting about anything, no more wondering about anything. He thought, if God can do this, he can do anything.
Amen.
Isaac climbed down off there. He helped him get that goat up there, you know, and they tied him up, and he took that thing, and he offered that sacrifice. Then they set it on fire, and God stood there and watched.
Amen.
God watched him do that. And Abraham knew God was there. And look, that day he found all in God. He never worried about nothing. You'll never find anywhere else where he ever worried about anything, ever questioned anything. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's the happiest you'll ever be. The happiest you'll ever be when you find everything you want, everything you need in God. Quit looking in the world for it. Quit looking for people in people for that. Quit looking for things to make you happy. Quit looking for religion to make you happy. Quit looking for some preacher to make you happy. Quit looking for a husband or a wife or a friend. Listen, young people, sup, listen. Look to God and all about it, all of it, all in all. Put it on Him. And then you'll get the happiest you've ever been. I don't care what you got. It wouldn't make me happy if I had it. I don't care how big your house is. I wouldn't be happy if I had it. I don't care what kind of car you drive. It wouldn't make me any happier if I had your car. Not your car, I'd be sad, but anybody else's car. He's got a Mitsubishi or something. I couldn't spell it. But what is that thing you drive? Oh, it's a Toyota. A Tory up older. 300,000 miles. That's a good, that's your happiness. I hope it goes another 300,000. But I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be happy if I had your family. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be any happier than I am right now. Because see, one day I had to decide he's the only one that can make me happy. And I'm so happy now I can't hardly stand it. And on my worst day, I'm a lot better off than I was on my best day when I was lost and going to hell. Amen. On the worst day, and I've had some bad days since I've been saved. And my heart, I've had my heart ripped out, thrown on the floor and stomped since I've been saved. Yeah. Felt like I was going to die. Couldn't breathe. You looking at the start over king here. I've started over and started over and started over. But see, the difference between me and those that quit is I'm finding it all in him. I done found out I can't find it anywhere else. And you'll be happy. So when the preacher doesn't preach your pet sermon, it won't make you mad. You'll say, "Amen. Hallelujah." Anyhow, preacher, go ahead, lay it on them. When he points that big old fat bony finger, well, that not fat and bony can't go together, is it? When he points that bony finger right at you, you'll say, "Amen, preacher. Preach on, preach on. Amen." When he says you sang off key, you'll say, "You're right, preacher. Pray for me. I'll get a better key." Amen. When he say you missed those notes on that piano, I heard it. You'll say, "Amen, preacher. Pray for me. I'm happy as if I got good sense." But you're going to, number one, you got to leave all for God. You're going to have to turn from your sins, yes, and turn to Christ. Amen. Number two, you have to leave all with God. Amen. That means your loved ones, your friends, your family, your finances, you just going to have to leave it with Him. And then number three, you have to find all in Him. Yes. All, the song says, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." Then you'll be happy. Look at me, young people. Look up here. You're not old enough to know it yet, but there's a lot of trouble in this old world. And this stuff you're chasing, wake him up. This stuff you're chasing, wake up, son, look at me. You're in church, listen. This stuff y'all chasing to make you happy, you know what it's going to do? It's going to break your heart. Those people you following, they ain't on drugs because they're happy. They're on drugs because they're not happy. They ain't alcoholics because they're happy. They're alcoholics because they're not happy. They're not living that sinful, wicked lifestyle and destroying their health because they're happy. They're doing it because they're unhappy, and they're searching for happiness, something you'll only find in Christ. I just wish church members would just get happy. They come to church. I say, "How you doing?" They say, "All right." And I say, "I wish I hadn't talked to you." And sometimes I avoid people. I do. Because they're not happy. And I come in here happy. I was happy to be here. Amen. I ought to be in hell. Amen. If I'm not in hell, I ought to be in jail at the least. Amen. And I come in here and shake your hand and you go, how you doing? Well, I didn't get my favorite ice cream today. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. These little old kids, they come to church and they just drag in here. I wish somebody took me to church when I was 12 years old. I wish somebody took me to Vacation Bible School when I was 10 years old. I wish somebody loved me enough to take me to Sunday school. I didn't even know there was a Sunday school. Well, y'all ought to come in here skipping. I can't even skip. Let's see if I can skip. Thank God I'm in Sunday school. Hallelujah! I get to go to Sunday school. They let me sing. Hallelujah! People come here. I say, hey, you know, woe is me. Woe is me. Oh, shut up. You know what's wrong? Either you haven't took the first step. If you did, you missed the second step. If you don't get the second step, you'll never find the third step. We ought to be the happiest people. You say, I don't believe in all that emotion. Well, quit listening to country music, liar. That's all about crying. Amen. I don't believe about all that noise in church. Yeah, but you do about the football game. One of these days, somebody's going to get so happy in here, they're going to start jumping pews. We'll scare you to death, brother. I've seen them cut cartwheels. I have. I've seen them cut a cartwheel in church. I've seen them run round and round and shout and cry. Me and Brother Bobby Brindle one time went to a revival up in Concord. As soon as we walked in, they were already singing, and the Spirit was in there. Man, you could just feel the Lord's presence. And this old gal got up while they were singing. She got to shouting and hollering, and she grabbed the Christian flag and started walking up and down the aisle. Woo! 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 She was happy. You say, preacher, I wouldn't do that. I know it. That wasn't bad enough. Another guy got up and he grabbed the American flag and started running right behind her. Woo! Woo! You say, preacher, I don't believe in that. I know you don't. I can tell. That preacher got up there to preach. He started preaching. He started laughing. I mean, he just started laughing. Right in the middle of his sermon, he started laughing. He got laughing so hard he was crying. And then everybody else got to laughing and crying. Next thing I know, that little old Bobby Brindle, all 3 foot 5 inches and a half, was down on the floor crawling around his little old knees, crying like a little baby, crawling back and forth, crying like a little baby. And then he got up there. And he slid up there beside me. You know, his little old feet sticks off like this when he sits. And he slid up there beside me. He said, preacher, it's good. And he started laughing. We ended up on the altar together laughing and crying at the same time. And he said, preacher, we don't need all that. I think we do sometimes. If you'd leave your all dignity and become a fool for Christ's sake, God could do some things. Don't you think they looked at Abraham and said, the man has lost his mind.
Yes.
He's given away everything he's got. He's leaving his family. He says he's going to a city whose builder and maker is God, but he doesn't know which direction to go. He has no map. He has no GPS. But he's headed out tomorrow. He's gone religion crazy. The blind man's gone religion crazy. They used to say that about you when you first got saved. Boy, started listening to TV preacher before you knew it. He's down there in one of them cult churches. All they believe is the King James Bible. They won't read out of nothing else. They won't sing nothing but them old-fashioned hymns. The boy's lost his mind. Talk about you, brother. Every Methodist in Chester heard about you because your daddy was a Methodist preacher, your grandpa was a Methodist preacher, and now he's shamed them all. Amen. 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 Because he left all to find all. I wish some of y'all would do. I wish some of this Sunday morning crowd would leave it all. I wish some of you young people would leave it all and start following Jesus. It'd get so happy around here we wouldn't be able to handle it. Some of y'all smiling right now ain't smiled in 2 or 3 weeks. I have decided to follow Jesus. He says this, no turning back. And you might fall along the way, but he'll pick you up, but you will not turn back. You won't do it. And by the way, if you ever start following him, you really won't want to turn back. Some of our Free Will Baptist brethren, one of them told me one time, said, he said, I don't believe you can lose your religion, but I believe you can walk away from it. I said, then you didn't ever have it. How could you walk away from eternal life? How could you do that? How could you unbelieve? How can you surrender? He said that he would give us eternal life. How do you surrender that back to God? Do you write him a letter and say, God, I'm giving it back to you? I'm afraid a lot of them that's never happy never took the first step.
Right. Come on, brother.
And then there's some that took the first step that they just never had the courage to take that second step. And there's very few that ever take that third step.
Right.
They're all going. But some's going to be happy and some's going to be happier. And some's going to be happy. Which bus you want on? Which bus you want on? The happiest. I want on the happiest. That's the happiest bus. Amen. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you know what? You'll never be happy. You might as well get saved and let him give you happiness. If you are saved, you're out of the will of God, you're never going to be happy that way. You might as well turn away from it and turn back to him so he can give you joy back. And if you are saved, doing the best you can, God will give you the happiest of all the moments of all the Christians. If you'll just follow him, he'll give you what you're looking for. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the inerrant.